Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So it's the holidays. At Thanksgiving, we spoke with an academic, one of the few who studies estrangement, people separating from family members. And boy, did we hear from you out there. Then we recently spoke with best-selling author Tara Westover. Her memoir, Educated, is the story of growing up in an extreme survivalist family and separating from that family to survive. We're going to bring you that whole conversation next week. But Tara mentioned in passing that she wants her next book to be titled Estrangement because it hit such a nerve. Well, I told her about our segment.
It is far and away the most listened to story that we've had on in recent memory.
I think it's such a secret because so few people, I found there was almost no one willing to talk about it. I remember when it was happening, just thinking to myself, how can I even believe that I'm a good person if I know that my mother doesn't believe I'm a good person? And how can I ask people to trust me if I'm going to have to tell them, you know, my mother doesn't trust me? And that stigma, that sense is so strong that I think, of course, you never want to tell anybody about it. But the result is everybody's going through it. A lot of people are anyway, and they feel really alone.
Well, so let's address estrangement again, this time with Joshua Coleman, a psychologist in the San Francisco Bay Area. He's also senior fellow with the Council on Contemporary Families and author of several books, including When Parents Hurt, Compassionate Strategies When You and Your Grown Child Don't Get Along. Dr. Coleman, Joshua, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That title of your book kind of gives away something that actually people said that we didn't cover enough. We approached this topic mostly through the point of view of young adults who felt they had to estrange from their families for safety. I mean, here's a comment from Jack on our website. I heard this segment and I had to pull over. Thank you for affirming the fact that adult children usually estrange because of issues of safety. What's your message about estrangement?
Well, I think it's important that we're not too overly reductionistic in terms of the causes of estrangement. I do think that there are plenty of abusive, neglectful parents, and that estrangement is certainly understandable from that perspective. But I do not believe that that constitutes the majority even of people who end up estranging, even though I wouldn't contest the reasons. So other common reasons might be that the adult child is married to somebody who hates the parents and has basically said, choose me or your parents. Mm. That's incredibly common.
Really?
Or the child's mental illness or their addictions. Or the child feels too burdened with worry about the parent and how unhappy the parent's life is. Or the effects of a divorce where one parent poisons the child at any age against the other parent. So the idea that only terrible, abusive, neglectful parents are being cut off from their adult children, I believe is a myth.
Let's start, though, with those who are in that situation. As you said, there are many, and we heard from them. Here's Christopher writing, my father's an alcoholic. My mother is his enabler. Looked at me and my brother as adults to fix the problems she didn't want to handle. There was physical abuse, weekly beatings with a wooden paddle. I mean, Tara Westover says that the problem for her was not the things that happened to her, mostly from the men in her family, but her mother's denial that they were happening. So if somebody's struggling with that, like we heard Tara say, how can I be a good person if I feel this way, I have to separate from a parent? How do they handle that?
Well, I think it's important to try to do it in a way that you're getting lots of support, that this is something where there's enormous shame on both sides. In some ways, it's a silent epidemic, in part because both parents and adult children don't want to talk about it because both sides feel like they're going to be blamed or misunderstood. So it's important that you surround yourself with people who have your experience, either through forums or Facebook groups or therapy support groups or individual therapy. Mm. Getting support is critically important.
Yeah, and it sounds like there are a lot of people out there, so there's that. What about, you mentioned mental illness in passing, and we heard a lot of people kind of in defense of parents who said that there were parents who felt that they just could not handle, you know, their adult child's mental illness or a drug addiction, just even as they got older in particular, couldn't handle it anymore.
Well, right. There are certain adult children who they're abusive, they steal from their parents, they threaten their parents. Some adult children move back in with their parents, and then they're very abusive and threatening. And so a certain percentage of adult children, it's not a high percentage. I don't think this is something that either side does whimsically or impulsively. Typically, estrangements happen slowly and over time. And what I'm often counseling my estranged parents of adult children is that, you know, you want to respond as quickly as possible to your child's complaints from a perspective of empathy and assuming that there's at least a kernel of truth to what they're saying. Part of the conflict is that there's this huge generational divide in what's getting called abuse today. From the parents' perspective, a lot of what some adult children say is abusive in their generation might have been considered obnoxious, hurtful, critical, but for the adult child today, they've been socialized in a way that's made them kind of much more psychologically sophisticated. They're more knowledgeable about parenting and these kinds of things. And so that conversation never goes anywhere if the parent just tries to assert the rightness of their perspective. They're far better off empathizing with the child's perspective, with their complaints, taking responsibility, trying to repair the hurt, and feel like you did a good job, and your child could still feel like you did something that was really hurtful or missed something really important about them.
Well, there's two things going on here. One is the parents who have themselves estranged themselves from adult children because of the, you know, let's say with addiction, because of they can't live with it anymore. Another is what you've been saying, parents who've had children estranged from them. We heard from many listeners, one who wrote that said their daughter is estranged. There was no abuse. The daughter is the one who suffers from a mental illness and diagnosed mental illness, and so she is estranged from them. Here's Sherry McGregor, a mother of five adult children, one's estranged. She said she did a lot of research and ended up writing a book, Done with the Crying, Help and Healing for Mothers of Estranged Adult Children, and also a peer support forum, rejectedparents.net. So there are parents who are seeking support when children have estranged from them. But that enrages the children. It enraged a lot of our listeners who said, you know, you parents don't want to accept. You say you don't know why this happened. It's you're not accepting something.
Well, two things. One is that much more typically, and the little bit of research that's out there shows that more typically it's the adult child who's estranging themselves from the parent. And so sometimes the parent just doesn't understand, and it's partly because of this generational divide. And I don't think it's nearly as important about who's right and who's wrong. I think these can kind of deteriorate from, you know, on the adult child side to thinking of parents as being abusive and toxic. And as the from the parent side, it can deteriorate into over-entitled children who don't know the meaning of respect. Neither of those occupies a place of particular helpfulness in terms of healing a relationship. It's far more important for there to be an understanding of why parents feel the way that they do and why the adult child feels the way they do. And typically, my counsel is for the parent to take the lead. I do think that the buck stops with the parents. And secondly, because today adult children, the only thing that maintains the tie between the parent and the adult child is whether or not that adult child wants to have the relationship with the parent.
But, doctor, what if, and we've heard from them, what if the young adult does not, it really doesn't ever want to have contact with that parent? And for some, that is the healthiest decision. How do you help a parent with that? You're not getting this relationship back.
Right. Well, two things. One is I always tell parents to say to the adult child, I do understand from your perspective, this feels like this is the healthiest thing for you to do, because that is what it feels like to the adult child. But to your point, first of all, we never know who's going to reconcile and who won't. I mean, I put together the principles in my book, When Parents Hurt, because I wanted to give people a set of guidelines of do's and don'ts. And once an estrangement starts to get triggered, it's like stepping into the quicksand for parents. So they start doing all kinds of things that are highly problematic. They blame the kid. They invalidate them. They blame other people, like their ex or their spouse or whatever. They don't do all the empathic things. And some of the families that I've been working with have had reconciliations after 10 years or 20 years. And what little research is out there shows that, in general, most estrangements are time limited, but not all of them. And so if you are a parent and it looks like your kid's never going to reconcile, you have to engage in what one author referred to as radical acceptance. We have to accept that some things are beyond our control. And once we've done everything possible to try to effect change in that relationship, then, and if we can't actually, if it doesn't actually get us what we want, then we have to dig down and find other sources of support and other forms of family and friendships and that kind of thing.
This is for the parent. Sometimes you can't change things. But meantime, you're saying how common this is. We're stunned by it. And so the bottom line, you're not alone.
You're not alone, right. And there's plenty of people on both sides, and there's enormous shame on both sides, so people aren't talking about it as much. And it's critically important that both sides are getting support, because it is such a socially isolating phenomenon.
On either side. That's Joshua Coleman, a psychologist in the San Francisco Bay Area, also a senior fellow with the Council on Contemporary Families, author of several books, one of them, When Parents Hurt, Compassionate Strategies When You and Your Grown Child Don't Get Along. We're also going to link you at hearnow.org to a support group that he finds valuable in the UK for estranged children. It's called Stand Alone. Joshua, Dr. Coleman, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And again, we'll also link you to our previous story. It has lots of listener input for resources. And we'd love your thoughts that may help others at hearandnow.org. And again, our conversation with author Tara Westover, one of the ultimate estrangements from a survivalist family. That conversation that we noted at the beginning of this segment, we'll have that for you next week.